The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Also, hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour, all Rockets. So if you want your Rockets, go back and catch us on podcastarena.com. I guess they did the Emmy nominations today. Somebody just tweeted it out. I haven't had a chance to go through them yet. I don't know why I'm still watching Westworld.
Is it bad?
It's just not good.
I haven't even started yet. I'm waiting to binge it all at once.
Yeah, it's just, it's, there's nothing about it where I keep saying, why am I watching this show? It's not bad enough to eject on, but, you know, it's got all these different storylines going on different timelines. And I always hate that. And then in the last minute, there's always some big reveal. So.
Yeah.
Well.
Angel Lincoln's leaving Walking Dead. They broke about 30 minutes ago.
I heard that. I
mean, who was that?
Rick.
Rick, yeah.
Oh, really?
What's the point then?
Yeah, I wish he died a long time ago.
I guess Negan might be the focal point. I haven't seen the show in a few years. I know AJ used to watch it.
Yeah, I've still been watching it. But I don't understand why you'd have the show without him. I mean, at least make him die. You can't. What are you going to do? Just pretend he's not there? I don't know about that.
Well, John, you seem remarkably recovered from your.
I feel okay
from the royal wedding.
Yeah, I didn't get too messed up. The trick was when we went on the other side, we were sipping our cognac, and when we got the plan was to hit the tables that don't drink first. And then hit the tables that drink massively amounts of liquor last, so they don't have either they're out of cognac or they're too buzzed to give us a lot. So it kind of worked and kind of didn't.
So that's why it took you so long to get to us.
Yes.
Ah. Okay.
And the whole thing was that I had to hit my family and then her side first.
Yeah. Well, I met a lot of your family members that were really awesome and very friendly.
Oh, thank you.
We had a good time. You guys looked amazing in the Korean garb, I have to say.
Oh, thanks.
You looked like a couple of actors.
Which one was the Korean?
The pink one? Okay.
Yeah. But, that was fun, man. We had a good time.
Yeah. I heard, some of, the people here had a little too much fun. somebody that's not here, that didn't show up to work today.
Someone who's not here to defend herself may have had too many.
And a couple of our part-timers, I think, got a little rowdy, too.
Did they? I didn't pay much attention to
them. See, I ejected after you came to the table because my shot clock went off in my head and said, okay, dude, if you stay here any longer, you're going to wind up getting drunk and doing something stupid. So we left.
There were a couple tables where, you know, there was part-time guys or guys from the radio station. I recognized most of them. And then there was, like, some people I didn't recognize at all sprinkled in. And I was like, is this a situation where there was just this guy didn't have a table that he belonged at? They just put him there? Or is this a guy I've worked with for the last 8 years and I have no idea who he is or where I've ever seen him before?
Which one?
I don't know. I didn't ask his name. What are you, crazy?
I will say that.
I do what I always do. I pretend. I just say, hey, buddy. Pretend like I know him.
I want to know the names of everybody who didn't show up at Patrick Creighton's table because I want to shame them publicly.
Barry Warner.
Okay, Shane Bell.
Laura and her husband. And I think she told me like last minute she couldn't make it because she was going to a graduation.
Nah.
I think her son graduated.
What about David Gao?
David Gao told me a while ago he couldn't make it because he had a family trip on Memorial Day.
I felt kind of bad because Patrick and his wife, Nate was there briefly.
And
then he left, so they were by themselves. So whoever it was that didn't show up at our table, we asked them to come over.
Yeah, that table had originally about 8 or 9 people sitting at that table. Oh, Glenn Davis was one of them.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he bailed.
Yeah, he bailed last week. He told me when he was in there with you guys.
Okay.
Because before he said he wasn't going to make the ceremony.
He had a soccer thing to do.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, sorry, John.
Yeah, that's right. He told us that. But although that game was in the afternoon.
It's true.
I know he was doing a big party and all, but it was kind of over long before yours started. But we had fun. We went over to around the corner beforehand and had a couple drinks and then wandered over. And, I thought it was awesome meeting a bunch of people there and just a good time. I did not, I'll talk about this in a minute, but I kind of was glad nobody saw me. We were walking over from the bar because it's basically a block away. And I was passing out Thrive to everybody. So here, try this tonight because you're going to need it. And my wife says, dude, you look like you're passing out drugs to people. And it's a good thing there's not a policeman walking by. And I'm kind of like, I didn't think about that. But yeah, I'm sitting here pulling pills out of a bottle and giving them to people.
You know, if you'd waited 3 more minutes for this story, you could have let it into
your
library.
I know.
You really blew that.
I know, but it's in the moment.
But yeah, John, it was a good time. We had fun. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, we had a really good table because we had Tepper and Lance and his wife.
We had a good table until you invited Patrick Creighton over.
Well, dude, I felt bad for him and his wife. They're sitting over there by themselves.
Well, the good thing about Patrick Creighton was it meant we got an extra plate of duck.
Yeah, we did.
And we got an extra bottle of cognac. And
See?
What was that?
You could put up with him for extra cognac.
What was that booze? It was like grapefruit flavored. It smelled like Topo Chico.
Oh, it's a Korean liquor.
It's like seltzer water, damn near.
The flavored stuff goes down real, real easy.
Yeah.
Just the original stuff doesn't, but it's called soju.
Okay.
It's a Korean liquor.
I tasted the his and hers drinks.
Uh-huh.
Is that a drink that you actually like?
Yes.
That's horrible.
It's better ice cold, but I guess they didn't give it to you ice cold.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
No.
No, but I drank some of that milk tea.
Yeah.
With booze in it. We tried some with sake and some with
yeah, that was Lance's idea.
With
vodka. I'm just going to put some booze in it.
And it was pretty good. And then I think that's about it. I didn't get too lit up. I drank a couple beers, I drank some of those milk teas, and then I drank I tried the his and hers, and then I drank a thing of cognac, but then I took it a shot again when you got over to the table. But I didn't go too hard. I had to drive home, so
yeah. And
I know what I just rattled off sounded like a really large amount of alcohol.
Well, it was over a long period
of
time.
I was there for like 5 hours.
Yeah, it was. We were there for a while. So, but I had left my car at the bar because somebody didn't want to walk 5 blocks in her heels. I don't know what her problem was, but I knew I had to. If I'd stayed, it was going to get ugly. So I knew I had to leave then. So just the shot clock went off. And I was
right.
Okay. So I did it before things got... I knew it was time to go before I... Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. My only complaint about the whole thing was the soup.
Oh, yeah. Fred took one bite of the soup, and he was like, what is this?
And everything else was good, but the next morning, I woke up. My stomach was a mess, and it was from one bite of soup, I can tell you. Because
my biggest complaint food-wise was that lobster is so hard to eat.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, that's a challenge, and it's covered in sauce.
Yeah.
Like, normally you just you break lobster open. This was like, it's super sauce, so you got to get around it. It's a lot of work. I think the duck was the highlight of the meal.
Yeah, and that was about when we brought Patrick Creighton over, so we wound up getting 2 rounds of duck.
Yeah, that was good.
Now, he did some damage to it, but that's okay. It was still more than we would have had. But.
Yeah, we had me and Teresa just had the soup in the, and it's called a bun bao, but it has the duck and it's in the, I guess the little, I don't know what it's called, but it's in the little bun, right?
Yeah. The little banh mi buns or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Steam buns. So we just had that and everything else we couldn't eat because we were too busy going around talking to people.
Or you were too drunk.
No, we didn't get too lit.
Really?
I had a good time, though.
I noticed Teresa late in the game switched up a strategy, and she was carrying around a glass of water.
It was Sprite.
Oh, okay.
It was her chaser.
Was it to settle her stomach or what?
Both. Okay. And the tables that she had to drink, she chased it with the Sprite.
Okay.
That's smart.
That is smart.
I didn't want you guys dying.
No.
That would have sucked.
Yeah, and I think they kind of kicked us out at 11:30, even though we had the place till 12.
Really?
Because the vendors needed to clean up, and they needed to leave by 12. So technically, we were supposed to be out by 11. And when the lights started to come up at 11, I went to the DJ and I told him to turn the lights back down. And we had the place for another 30 minutes. So we kind of left at 11:30.
I left right before the dancing kicked off.
Oh, that was the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I saw the video. It looked pretty lit, but it looked like maybe I was a little too old to be there. So I was glad. I think I got out at the right time.
How much longer were you guys there after we left?
Maybe 15 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Long enough to, we all took some pictures together at the Pick Me booth.
Yeah, Michael from Pick Me was there.
Yeah.
Always does a great job, pickmeevents.com.
But you did a good job of putting our table together.
Yeah.
I tried.
Lance and I have not hung out socially very often. I really enjoy Lance's company. His wife seems like a nice lady. Tyler and Dave are both awesome. So it was a good time.
Yeah, I was going to stick you with Barry Winter by yourself.
Well, I mean, that would have been fine too.
Because you'd have had the table to yourself.
I would have been all by myself.
And then we would have had to invite you guys over.
I would have said no. I would have passed.
It's because you wanted all that food to yourself and all that alcohol. All right, speaking of alcohol, and hey, it worked for me, and that's one of the reasons why I was so glad that I was able to share some of my Thrive Plus with the gang the other night, was because we knew we were going to be drinking. And the great thing about Thrive Plus, if you want to wake up the next morning and not feel like you were drinking the night before, especially a lot of these people over 30 years old now, you start to feel it. Hey, man, that's why Thrive Plus works, and it worked great for me this weekend, I have to say. Because I know I would have been hurting Sunday morning if I hadn't taken my Thrive Plus before I went to bed. And if you saw them on Shark Tank, it's very cool how this works. You take 3 capsules after your last drink or before going to bed. That simple. It's a dollar capsule, so for $3, would you not want to feel better the next day? I mean, that's a bargain, right? It reduces alcohol's negative effects by giving your liver what it needs to process alcohol and its toxic byproducts. And you don't have to take my word for it. It works, but you could try it yourself. It was recently on Shark Tank. As I mentioned, the founder is a Princeton graduate. They have 5 PhDs on their team. And if you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. So whether it's 1 drink or 5 drinks or the 8, 9, 10, or 11, or 12 that AJ just mentioned, just take 3 Thrive Plus capsules when you're done. That simple. You're going to start feeling better anytime you wake up, and your liver's going to thank you. And they're Houston-based, so if you order before 4 o'clock any day, you're going to receive the product on your doorstep the next day. So if you're planning on going out Thursday night, go ahead and make that order right now. Very simple. To order Thrive Plus, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. They're even on Amazon, so if you want to order it that way, simply search Thrive Plus on Amazon. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you. DecideThrive.com. Just wanna be, I
wanna be with you. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now, or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. You know what OU Mike says?
What's OU Mike say?
On Jong's wedding day, soccer doesn't matter. That was a pretty big game, and I know he was hosting a big watch party, but kind of thought it was over and plenty of time for him to be there. That's all I'm saying. But I'm sure he can. Maybe there was an after party that he had to host. Because he's a big deal. But Barry Warner better be dead for not showing up.
He might be.
Well, no, he turned in a column today, so.
I was going to say, has anyone seen him, or did they just go to his house and find a pile of dust?
Well, there was a little dust left over. Well done, John. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So I didn't do much the last couple of days, except I actually spent yesterday getting some stuff done on the website. But Sunday I didn't do anything. Friday night we went out, and I don't think I told you the story Saturday because I wanted to save it. We went to the Maple Leaf, which is one of my favorite little. Okay, so 519. It's very interesting how your burps have evolved into between 515 and 545 recently.
I don't know how it works out that way.
It usually is like right at the beginning of the show. But I figured I was going with the Canadian and our friend Christina, who's like the mini Canadian. She's Canadian also.
Yeah, okay.
Figured take them to the Canadian bar. Friday night, no hockey. Nobody should be there, right? And our buddy Roger was going to meet us there. Well, walk in, and there's a dude standing there in a huge yellow hat and a bolo tie, and he's monologuing in front of a group of about maybe 40 people. I'm kind of like, whoa, 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 this is not what I was hoping for tonight. I just want to come get some poutine, have a couple beers, you know, maybe say hi to the owners I hadn't seen in a while. And so they got that whole side of the bar over there. And at first I think, well, is this some kind of trivia thing? And it's like, well, no. Then he starts talking about Jeopardy. I'm like, okay, are they going to play Jeopardy? That kind of sucks. I mean, it's not a cool thing to do on a Friday night. No, he finally starts talking about his performance on Jeopardy. We've wandered into a Jeopardy watch party for this guy's performance on Jeopardy.
Okay.
So we get a 45-minute monologue about how he performed before they show the thing. And the way he made it sound, it's like his only goal was to beat the guy who'd won all week, Josh.
Okay. I mean, that's a good goal.
It's a good goal to have, except when you ignore the other person.
So wait, was he...
He was actually on Jeopardy.
Okay, he wasn't just like playing along.
No, okay. this was a guy on Jeopardy. His name was Ross.
Okay.
We learned he's from Montrose, and he once won a contest dressed up as Cesar Romero's Joker.
Okay.
And he has a big yellow hat and a bolo tie.
Okay.
And so then... We're watching, and of course, everybody's cheering for him in the bar. And now I'm kind of, we're kind of counter-cheering at this point.
Wait, did he already know the results?
He knew the results, but I don't think they did.
Okay.
Hence the watch party.
I wouldn't want to hang out with a guy who wouldn't tell me.
Well, yeah, I'd want to know beforehand.
Yeah.
Maybe they knew. I don't know, but they were cheering his every move. So I immediately started rooting for Virginia and Josh because I felt somebody needed to represent these two.
And I mean, Josh, to be fair, Josh had won all week.
He had, and I'd kind of like to see him lose, but they were
He's a dynasty. It's like the people who cheer against the Warriors because they're always there.
But they were booing it every time they got something right, so I kind of felt like it was a moral imperative on my part to be pro-Virginia and pro-Josh.
Okay.
Well, we get to the end. Final Jeopardy question is one that any one of us in here would have got. It was named the Academy Award-winning actor who played... Two Academy Award-winning actors, and one of them was a 2004 war comedy film. Tropic Thunder.
Do what?
Tropic Thunder was a film.
Oh, really?
Robert Downey Jr.
I didn't know he won.
He played an Academy Award winner.
Oh,
And he played Chaplin.
Okay, I was thinking like a real Academy Award winner.
He's a real Academy Award winner who played.
Right. I was thinking it was two biopics that he did.
Right. Well, like, he did Chaplin.
Right. The Chaplin one I was thinking of. Tropic Thunder, I didn't think of that.
But see, that's the thing. Though. They made it really clear that it was Tropic Thunder.
Okay.
So he's like the only one in there, right, that you could say that about. So regardless, you would have got it right if you'd seen it. I didn't word it very well. So he's like $400 behind Virginia, and he's way ahead of Josh. Josh gets it wrong. He's got Anthony Hopkins. He blew it. And this may not have aired yet, so I may be getting in trouble for giving it away. But you know what? You shouldn't have showed it in my bar. Just saying. And then He gets it right. Ross gets it right, but he only bet like 1,250 because he was trying to finish ahead of Josh if Josh got it right. And Virginia also got it correct, and she bet it all. So she wound up winning. Now, it didn't matter if he bet it all because, you know, but he did not win. He finished second and then proceeded to spend the next 30 to 45 minutes reliving the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, okay, you know, great. I didn't expect to have analysis of it, but yeah, so that's what happened. And he's like holding the kid the whole time. I'm thinking maybe because he doesn't want people to say, dude, it's okay to sit down now. But his big complaint was he never got any daily doubles.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have picked better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But all I know is I went through almost an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours of monologue / Jeopardy for a guy who finished second. Yeah. And, yeah, I kind of asked if I asked one of the bartenders, like, you know, why wasn't this on Facebook? Because I would have, you always check the page before I go somewhere to see if something's going on. It's like, no, we didn't really know about it until a little earlier. So I'm like, okay. So congratulations on your second place finish, Ross. And, you know, if you hadn't missed that one damn question, you'd have been all right.
Sorry, Ross.
But
suck it.
Awful lot of analysis. Awful lot of analysis from Ross. And I don't know who, like one of my bartender friends was saying, are you going to talk about this on air? Like, yeah. It's public,
yeah.
Public domain, right? If I walk into a place and you're showing something on TV, if you made the final table of a World Poker Tour event, probably have a watch party. It'd be on TV. People could talk about it, right? It's like, oh, I can't believe he folded his pocket jacks there.
You know me. I'm always looking to have a watch party, Fred. No.
If you made the top six of a WPT event, that'd be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, maybe.
I would do one. And then I would probably analyze it too and say, oh, yeah, I probably should have folded here. But, you know, regardless, that was my Friday night. Walked into that. Yeah, Christina says Ross was going around shaking hands and kissing babies like he was a bleeping senator.
Oh,
that
was the other part. You finished second on Jeopardy, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably his proudest moment. It's I've never finished second on Jeopardy.
That's true.
Never been on Jeopardy.
And you got to be smart to even get on there.
Oh yeah,
they don't let dumbs on. They do a pretty hefty screening process, I think. They're pretty thorough.
Yeah. Astro Dynamite says I saw that Jeopardy dude. I think it was yesterday. Okay.
Is he still going back and watching it?
Well, I think it aired yesterday. So we got to see it before everybody else, which is fine. I don't think I've watched Jeopardy in 10 years. So, but we had to sit through the commercials, too. I mentioned that. You know how I hate that. I love recording and fast-forwarding pretty much everything these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Big yellow hat, bolo tie, interesting outfit.
Is he like the man with the yellow hat from Curious George?
I'm not quite sure what the yellow hat was about. But it was gigantic.
Okay.
And, yeah, we were just kind of, and so we became Team Virginia.
Okay.
Now somebody there had to represent.
Virginia came in last place,
no,
right?
She won.
Oh,
she won. Was the winner, yeah.
So Josh came in last place?
Yeah, Josh, because he missed the final Jeopardy question.
Oh, what was the final Jeopardy?
The one I was telling you. Oh, okay. The Robert Downey Jr. question.
Was he the only one who missed it?
Yeah. It was pretty, the way they worded it, it was pretty easy.
And what was his guess?
Anthony Hopkins. Mm. And it was, you could tell it was like a shot in the dark kind of thing.
A dart.
Because he kind of had scratched stuff out and then gone with
that
it.
That would be my move, would be to make the second word. Like, I'd if I'm not sure, I'd just make it sort of illegible and just be like, make it where you could maybe swing it into a couple things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people do that all the time, I've noticed. Because, like, they'll do it the way I sign my name, where there's just a long line.
Right.
You think, oh, no, that's what I said, really.
Yeah, that was what I meant.
Yeah. But he got it right, and then he was smiling at the end of it, and he says it was because he knew she got it right too, but I think he thought he had it won. I don't know if he was being completely honest, because it was a pretty, I'll just say this, I didn't see how Josh had won the previous four. He was not on his game.
Okay.
He never was really in it.
Sorry, Josh.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to five
do better.
It's hard to five Pete.
It is.
Yeah.
It's hard to run the table, as they say, in Jeopardy.
Yeah. But, yeah, he, so that, it was a strange thing for just wanting to have a nice quiet night in the bar with friends, but at least we were entertained by it. There's that. It was kind of funny. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, guys, I got to tell you about a really good service. If you're paying way more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards, then Lightstream has you covered. You can refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. They reward consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate. Credit card consolidation loans from 5.49% APR with auto pay and no fees. The application is 100% online. It's a simple and painless process. The money's deposited directly into your account, so you are in control. You can even get your funds as soon as today. And I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, but I can pretty much assure you it's not 5.49%. And if you apply today, you're going to get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way for my listeners with good credit to get this special interest rate discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. That's lightstream.com/Fred, lightstream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rates include 0.5% auto pay discount, available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same day funding.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Behold the king. The king of kings. Your knees, dog.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Texter says yellow hat is probably the hat Norm MacDonald wore as Burt Reynolds on Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL. It's pretty obscure, but I'm sure you're right because nobody would wear that normally. I know Jerome Solomon wouldn't. What's up, Jerome? How you doing, man?
What's up, gentlemen? How's it going?
We're doing sports, Jerome. What's going on with you?
Man, I'm finally headed towards, perhaps tomorrow, the first off day I've had in, I don't even want to think back how far it's been. It's been a heck of a NBA playoff run.
You sound like you're not sad to hear it end.
I was going to say.
Hey, as you know, Fred, I have no rooting interest. I'm rooting for me, you know?
Were you surprised by the result at all?
I was not surprised by the result, but as I told you guys the last few weeks, I wouldn't have been surprised had the Rockets won. I was shocked that a team could take 27 threes in a row and miss them all. I mean, could you do that?
I don't think I could, honestly. Like, I think if I shot 27 threes, I could make at least one of them.
Metalock Lemon couldn't miss more than three or four half-court hook shots in a row. How in the world you miss 27 threes in a game? And you can't plan for that. You can't. You know, people are dogging Mike D'Antoni. And, yeah, I'm a huge D'Antoni apologist and big fan, and I like him personally, and I like what he does. What are you supposed to do? Like, there is no plan for missing 27 in a row because you didn't think they would miss 27 in a row. So if you plan for that, you're putting way too much time. You're Belichickian, you know? I mean, Belichick doesn't go and say, okay, if Tom Brady throws six interceptions in a row, what are we going to do? No, I don't even think he plans that far ahead on that kind of foolishness.
You're going to lose is what you're going to do.
Exactly. But on those lines, I love me some James Harden, but 6 minutes to go after all of that craziness, they were still within 6 points. They could have had a heroic effort in those last 6 minutes, and
messed around and won the game that they weren't supposed to. They just didn't get it done.
So where do they go from here, Jerome? What do you foresee this offseason?
I mean, it's one of those deals where, as much as I've criticized Daryl Morey over the years, you know, he's always been headed toward where they finally gotten to, and it's taken longer than necessary. And I do think he didn't value team chemistry as much as he should have over the years. I think he finally got a feel for that now, even though this is their first year together. I mean, think about it. Their key parts of the team weren't even here a year ago. You know, the P.J. Tucker and people really discounted Luke Mbamute's, you know, contribution, and his numbers are almost dead equal across the board to Iguodala's with Golden State. I'm not saying he's Iguodala, but for this team, he actually is. The same number of minutes and points and everything across the board, he pretty much provided that. He was new to the team. They beat the Warriors in the first game of the season, right, in Golden State on ring night, and Ryan Anderson played 33 minutes and scored some points and hit 4 or 5 3-pointers or whatever it was, and was a key part of the team, was a starter. By the end of the season, he couldn't even get in the game. So they adjusted throughout the year to what they had, what they were made of, and they didn't get everything out of the season they could have, because they could have won this series and probably would have if Chris Paul hadn't gotten injured, and certainly could have if they closed better last night. But it's not like a situation where you got to overhaul everything. You just got you got to realize how close you are and figure out a way to take the next step.
What do you do with Ryan Anderson? Obviously, you'd like to move that contract, and that's you've got Capella. What do you and Capella? Do you pay him max money to keep him?
That's one of those where it's just really tricky. I mean, because Capella has serious value in what he does and what he does for you. You have to project, and I'll put it on them. It's a cheap way out, but I put it on them. They should know whether he is capable of improving even more and continuing forward. Because if he improves along the same trajectory that he has in the last couple of seasons, then next year, and certainly the year after, when they're about to go over 27, the coach will say, stop, throw the ball to the big dude, let him score a couple times. Let's see the ball go in the basket. They couldn't do that last night because Capella's not that player just yet. He can finish an alley-oop. He can grab a rebound and score. But he's not – and really not a guy like – you know, when people try to throw the Olajuwon thing out there, I mean, I know they all know that that's a bit much. But he's not the guy who will say, hey, man, don't shoot another one of those, Trevor. You hadn't hit one. Give me the ball now. And if he's ever going to be that guy, you pay him. If he's only going to be the guy who is what he's doing right now, it's a little trickier. And Ryan Anderson, like you do whatever you can to move that money, that player, because it's, like I said, first game of the season, you thought he was important. By the end of the season, if he weren't on the roster, it wouldn't have hurt you. So you do whatever you can to get rid of that.
What about obviously, Trevor Ariza's deal is up. Can you upgrade at that position? I mean, last night notwithstanding.
As I said about Daryl Morey not valuing team chemistry as much, you always try to upgrade at every position you can. So, I don't think that's debatable. Where's the upgrade? You know, where's it coming from? With what player that it really matters? You just need to have and they probably did have. I was going to say, you need to have options to where Trevor Ariza doesn't get to shoot that many shots in a row and miss them all. But last night, he stayed on the court because their options were limited. Is Chris Paul on the roster last night or playing last night? Trevor Ariza gets to sit down for 5 or 6 minutes, and he wouldn't get to miss that many in a row. He'd get a little break in his brick-throwing that he had going on last night, and that kind of threw things off. So I don't have a problem with Trevor Ariza on your roster. Trevor Ariza playing for you. It's just that you do need to have options. But again, talking about trying to build the perfect team, a team with that can go 10, 12 deep, and you should always, you know, aspire to that. But it's unrealistic in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Yeah, but you don't need to be 10 or 12 deep when you get to the playoffs. Is they damn sure?
No, you don't. But one of your 7 or 8 can't go over.
Right.
But they didn't even need Trevor Ariza to be good last night. They didn't need him to make, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 shots. He just needs to make 2, 3, hell, 1 would have been an upgrade. And you can't really coach around that. I guarantee you the possibility of Trevor Ariza missing every shot didn't cross the coaching staff's mind before the game. And it was unprecedented. No NBA team has ever missed 27 threes in a row. No NBA team has ever taken more than 40 three-pointers and made only 7. And I'm not talking playoffs. I'm talking ever. Regular season, the worst. It was one of the worst three-point shooting nights in the history of basketball. And, I mean, it's hard to blame anybody because they had the shots they wanted. They were 5 out of 30 with no defender within 4 feet of them. So these were wide open shots, many of them. And they just bricked and bricked and bricked at home in a place where you should be more comfortable than anywhere else. There's nothing really. I can't even criticize it because they're not that bad. Because if they were that bad, they would have had one of these, you know, 7 for 44 3-point nights a couple more times during the season, and we could all be saying, well, you knew they were capable of that. There's no way we knew they were capable of going over 27 in a stretch. And while they were going over 27, the Warriors were 13 out of 23 or something. So the Warriors were playing the exact same game the Rockets were. They were just playing it with better shooters.
James Harden, the rap on him was coming into this postseason that he's a guy who shrinks in the big moments. Do you think James Harden's reputation is any different now than it was going into the playoffs?
No, I don't think it's any different at all. He blew an opportunity to change that reputation. I mean, he didn't shrink, but he didn't blow up either. You know, the old joke, he's got a barbecue or mildew. He didn't barbecue or mildew. He was just there where he could have had almost the exact same game as he had, but if he scored 10 points in the last 5 minutes of the game and the Rockets caught up and won by one at the buzzer, we'd be, wow, James Harden finally stepped up at the crucial moment. And he just didn't do it, you know, but it was his opportunity to do it. It would have taken a great game for him to do it, you know, especially with Trevor and Eric Gordon fading as they did. And he didn't take advantage of that shot to do it. But Harden is the same age as Jordan was when Jordan won his first title. And until Jordan had done it, everybody criticized him saying that he couldn't do it. Harden is nowhere near Jordan as a player and never will be. Harden is 3 years younger than Olajuwon was before Olajuwon won his first title. And the word then was, you can't win a title with Olajuwon. He's not good enough. He's too selfish, and on and on and on. He hadn't done it until he did it. And Harden will never be as great as Olajuwon is or was ever. But it's not like the guy's entire story is written. He had plenty of time to change it. Last night was a really good time to make that change. And he really messed it up too, because had he pulled that off last night, we'd all be bowing to the beard today, and then he'd have, you know, another 7-game series against the greatest, the current greatest anyway, in LeBron, where he'd get to build on that legacy even more. And 2 weeks from now, we'd be like, well, can't question James anymore, even if it was just based on a half a game run last night and 2 or 3 games in the finals. And so he missed out on that opportunity, and now he starts at game 1 of 82 next year from scratch. And that's the NBA, you know? Jordan couldn't pull it off until he got to the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals, needing to do it after all those years and all that greatness. he still had to do it at that time before people finally gave him his full due. And that's the situation that Harden's in. He's just not as good a player as some of these guys we're talking about.
Seems like it's almost unanimous that the Warriors are just going to walk through the Cavs. What are your takes on that series? Because I feel like I'm not counting out a LeBron-led team. I don't care who's out there with him. I don't think anybody's just going to run through that guy.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that LeBron can win a game or two by himself. I'm just not buying into the Cavaliers' defense being what it looked like a couple of times against the Celtics. And you need that. If this was a nasty, physical, ugly ball-playing Cavaliers team, they'd have a shot. Because think about it. The reason the Rockets had a shot wasn't because they could shoot threes or they could score or Mike D'Antoni's offense. It was because they got vicious on defense, something we didn't expect them to do. They were in people's faces, and Harden was, you know, bodying people up, and P.J. Tucker was just taking the ball from guys out on the open floor. The Cavaliers are one of the worst defensive teams in the playoffs, in the league. They looked better against Boston, but I just don't think Boston is really as special as we tried to make a lot of people tried to make them out to be. I don't know if they can handle Golden State. And for sure, Golden State will feel a whole lot easier going against the Cavaliers than they were going against the Rockets. They didn't learn, and Kevin Durant said it last night, they didn't really learn how good the Rockets were until they got up against them in the playoffs. They're like, man, these guys can actually play. And I don't think the Cavaliers are good enough to do that. But LeBron James is that much better than James Harden. So if Harden can and the Rockets can pull off three wins, you know, I'm not going to put it past the Cavaliers to win four, but it won't be about, you know, LeBron. It'll be about can they hold Golden State down as much as the Rockets did. If they do that, you know, then they can win it. But I wouldn't bet any money on it, that's for sure.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, appreciate the time, sir, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, fellas. Oh, and John, he's not even there, right?
So, he's here.
He's here.
Oh, he's there? What is he doing there?
He's taking his honeymoon in August.
John has never gotten laid. He should be like, shouldn't he be busy?
No, he made love to his bride for the first time. The Korean tradition is you do it in front of everyone at the wedding, so we all witnessed it.
You missed out, Jerome.
I knew I should have went to that wedding. Is the video on, like,
we're not allowed to video it. You have to watch in person.
Yep, you missed your chance.
He's a very gifted young man.
We'll just say
that.
We all had to check our cell phones at the door like it was a Chappelle concert. It was that's one of those things. You got to be there.
So are we calling him Jong Long now?
Long Jong Silver. That's what everybody called him.
Oh, man, I'm so happy for the young man.
Oh, thank you, sir.
It was about time.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
All right. So, John, when am I supposed to do this?
You can read it now, but we're giving it away in the 6 o'clock hour.
All right. Well, all right. So, in the 6 o'clock hour, listen for your chance to win in the name game. We're going to call two names, and if one of those is yours, you try to be the first caller and the winner of today's prize, an $80 gift certificate to iFly. That includes two flights for one person. iFly makes the dream of flight a reality with indoor skydiving in a safe and fun environment. Find locations and learn more about the flying experience. And yeah, we're doing the giveaway today. That actually sounds fun. So that's two flights? I can't win this, can I? We already had a Freddy. All right, so stay tuned. 6 o'clock hour, we'll give it away. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Make sure you check out Sports Map. Lots of great stuff on there today. Getting back to Ross, my favorite part about him, he had a Cal McNair mustache. So,
welp.
Cal McNair mustache and a bolo tie. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Black Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Are your kids into SpongeBob SquarePants?
They are. I think they would watch more of it. I don't like it. So if I'm there, I just say, turn this off. It's annoying to me. Like,
is it because it's so overtly gay?
I'd never noticed that, but just the voices and the noises of it are they're unpleasant to me. So I prefer they watch something else.
You might want to Google SpongeBob SquarePants gay if you want. But
I don't need to
but
do
fairly,
that.
But fairly famous, though, right? You would say the show's fairly...
Oh, yes. I can name...
My kids loved it.
I could name five characters, so that means it's pretty mainstream.
SpongeBob, I mean, Squidward, Patrick...
Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs.
Sandy the Squirrel.
Sandy the Squirrel. There you go.
Plankton, the owner of the Chum Bucket. Yeah, I know too much about SpongeBob.
Well, you certainly know what the Krusty Krab is, right?
I do.
Well, a gentleman here in Houston, Javier Ramos, was trying to open a seafood eatery, and he wanted to call it the Krusty Krab.
I would guess that Nickelodeon would have a problem with
that. And, yeah, there was a lawsuit, and he claimed that he came up with the name himself. From, quote, the crust that sticks to the top of crabs when they are put in a seafood boil. However, before submitting the application for a trademark, he admitted to Googling the moniker and seeing that it was already associated with SpongeBob SquarePants. He then decided that the cartoon star wasn't a big enough deal to constitute any kind of trademark confusion.
Sorry, buddy.
If that's your defense, there's a reason you didn't win that one.
Yeah.
Viacom said it was an attempt to piggyback off the Krusty Krab's well-established fame and reputation in order to make money. Bottom line is there will be no Krusty Krab in Kima because, because I think if I'm Viacom, I want to start my own restaurants called the Krusty Krab. I'm going to keep that name. So,
That's not going to work.
That is your Zad Eye Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zad Eye Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I want to dispute one thing Jerome was saying about, well done, Chung, about how everybody said Olajuwon was selfish and couldn't win by himself. I was around the team a lot and part of the media back then. That really wasn't the narrative. The narrative was they have to get the right players around him.
Yeah.
It was never, so I don't think that's a fair comparison to Harden.
I was going to jump in
and say that, but he was monologuing. So.
I think what he meant overall was that something has to change before James Harden can take that next step to being a guy who can lead his team to a championship. I mean, I agree.
And that's fair, but I don't think it was quite the same narrative.
Well, because I've always, I never doubted that Olajuwon could be the best player on a championship team. I've always doubted that Harden could be.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
SpongeBob SquarePants! SpongeBob SquarePants! SpongeBob SquarePants!
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.